Thursday, December 4th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 22, looking at verses 23 through 33, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, Last Arguments Against Jesus.
You will know the power of God that will raise your mortal body from the grave, and even now to be absent from the body is immediately to be in the presence of the Lord. As our Heidelberg says, our own deaths are not a punishment for our sins, but it puts an end to our sinning and is an entrance into eternal life. You have nothing to fear. Don't be like these fools. Come to Jesus today and receive grace and glory.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Was that the soul is not immortal and there is no afterlife? And quoting Josephus, they denied the whole idea of punishment and rewards of the underworld, end of quote, saying they're all done away with. Now, that's a big issue for our day, for Christianity. It's one of the, I think, great difficulties for people to simply listen to what's being said about what the claims of Christ are and why Jesus is pushing us on this point. If you can actually get somebody, just sit down and listen to what's being said and what is really good news in the midst of this, instead of automatically, out of the gates, denying it and walking away saying, I'm done with this. You still end up with the problem. It's either true or it's not. And our sort of intellectual denial of it doesn't cancel it. This smacks of the sort of late postmodernism of our times that simply says, whatever I believe is the truth of the matter. And like them, if we can remove from the thought process that there are consequences for the life that we live in the here and now, in the afterlife, then if you can remove that, you can go on with your way. You can go do whatever you want to do, and you can live and do whatever you want to do. And that means absolutely nothing. You're just some sort of annihilationist. And that's where a lot of people are functionally living. Most people live with the mindset, I will it, therefore it's not. And then I say, do you will that you will not die? Not one of you can do that. So we put it out of our minds. Even make a doctrine that such a dreadful idea is not true. And so the reasoning is, for the Sadducees, that I can justify my life in the present. And you see, both tactics remove the reality of Jesus' teaching in the scriptures on the matter. Sin has caused great separation from God. And a resurrection's coming. But their denial of the resurrection was a farce. It was a smokescreen to deny the real truth of what Jesus taught. That a judgment day is coming. And that you will either rise to eternal life, or John 5, Jesus said, eternal condemnation. Now you're not going to hear that today much. Because this is where people think that offense will drive people away. And I say, no, no, no. If they'll just sit and listen, they're going to hear the best news ever coming. Resurrection, if there's a resurrection, it requires people to ask, what am I rising to? Where am I going? Eternal life or eternal judgment? And you see, if you come to Jesus, I've got really good news. He'll forgive your sins. And he promises you eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, no one makes it to heaven except through me. But let's look at them for a minute Let's listen to them for a minute and see what people do. This is just what people do right now. Those truths have been presented to us, and here's where we get with people. And they asked him a question, teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. So to the second and third, down to the seventh, all of them. After them all, the woman died. You can hear him zero in the resurrection. Therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her. Now, the Sadducees were conservatives. They weren't, the Pharisees would have been viewed by them as more progressive because they had their traditions. The Sadducee says, we just listened to Moses. So they relied on Moses. And they go to Deuteronomy 25 in the Old Testament, and which said, if a woman has a husband who dies, she must not marry outside the family. And his brother must marry her to carry forward the name. If he refuses to do that, the brother, the woman, and I quote, Deuteronomy 25, could come to the elders and, quote, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face, and say, this is what is done to the man who will not build up his brother's family line. That man's line shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled. I don't think you'd ever want to have that name. You are the family of the unsandaled. Now they take that and they present this scenario. Seven brothers, first took a wife, he dies, left no offspring, second took her, he dies, leaving no offspring, the third does likewise, get all the way to the seventh, no offspring, last of all, the woman dies, here it is, in the resurrection, when they all rise again, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her. To which you say, give me a break. They're making this thing up. When have you ever heard of a scenario like that? I mean, it's like saying, the law says I shouldn't work on the Sabbath, and I take that to mean I shouldn't change a tire on the Sabbath then, Pastor, right? And if it happens on the way to church, when I see someone out on the side of the road, that I see one tire popped, no, I don't see one tire, I see two tires popped, I see three tires popped, no, I see all four tires popped. Does that mean I should get out and change the tire and miss church? The issue is not the tire or the neighbor. The issue is the Sabbath. You've attacked it. You've attacked the Sabbath. They don't care about the neighbor. If all seven brothers marries her and has no children in the resurrection, when they rise up, that stupid thing you believe, the resurrection, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her. Gotcha. This is what he's dealing with. They're ridiculing the resurrection. Now, at this point, I think it's important to see how Jesus handles this. How do you handle that kind of unbelief? Right? The issue is not even, for them, the resurrection. Notice they didn't raise, why these men didn't raise children for her. Seems pretty disobedient. Remember Onan? You can read the story. They don't want to think that any of their actions of marrying or divorcing or anything in this life have any consequences. So Jesus' first words. You ready for the rocket science answer to all this? You're wrong. Or maybe that's just where we need to start with people today. That's the last thing we refuse to tell anyone anymore. You're wrong. Period. That's the kind of courage, I think, that's first needed. You're wrong about this. You have a choice here. Either the resurrection will happen or it won't. Both cannot be true. And the claim of Jesus is, the resurrection's coming. So I love his answer. It's not the reason you're wrong, as he takes it further. It's because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. What a response. To these educated elite, to the doctors, to the great theologians of the time, you don't know your Bibles. Nor do you believe God even has the power to do this. And beloved, that right there is what unbelief comes down to. Those two things. You don't know your Bibles, and you don't believe in the power of God. What you're testing me with is this. It's clearly because you don't believe. And let me tell you, the source of all unbelief is no understanding of the scriptures and no ability to accept that God has the power to raise the dead. Did he not constitute us from dust? How did that happen? And Moses explained this perfectly. If you look at the confidence here, notice he says, when they rise, is the emphasis here, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels. That's a dig, for sure. They didn't even believe in the angels. Oh, the angels exist. They're doing very well up there, by the way. Completely fulfilled. There's nothing in want in heaven. There's nothing in want in resurrection glory. There's nothing that needs completed in resurrection glory. Marriage was given, as you all know, because it was not good for man to be alone. So he created a helper suitable for him. But in the afterlife, you don't need that. Did not the Old Testament always make clear, whom have I in heaven but you? None that I desire on earth except you. Desires fulfilled in glory. The angels enjoy the bliss of glory and resurrection glory. They enjoy that glory. They know that understanding of it. They are enjoying something far beyond you could ever ask or imagine. I love what R.C. Sproul once said. If you could use your imagination and try to think of the greatest possible experience that you will have in heaven, and multiply the joy you will feel in that moment by a million times, you still will not have begun to appreciate what God is preparing for people in heaven. This is awesome. Our existence will be completely fulfilled with joy, far exceeding that which the marriage relationship provides in a fallen world for us as a good blessing of God. So don't miss it. They are so worldly, they're so living for this life, they don't want the resurrection. They're so unbelieving, they don't believe God has the power to do it. And then Jesus drives it home with this. Since you appeal to Moses, I'm going to do that too. Have you not read what was said at the burning bush? This is where he takes it. You're going to love this. How did God speak to Moses at the burning bush? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, Moses. They've been dead for hundreds of years by that point. If they just expired and became nothing, how could God say that? Is that what you believe? You do, because you have no understanding of the what we call aseity of God or the self-existence of God. I am who I am. I am eternal. I'm the unchanging one who has no beginning or end. I am the source of life, all life. And he speaks to Moses presently saying, I still am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, what does that mean? This is the most beautiful truth for all of you today. They're still living. They're alive. They're not dead. What a comfort. I see many of you mourn, and I know many of you are still mourning the sudden loss of loved ones, and it's painful. And he says the same to you today. I am their God. I am their God. I am who I am. Remember at the death of Lazarus? Whoever believes in me, though he dies, he lives. And whoever believes in me shall never die. And you stop, you say, that is a either liar, lunatic, right? He just said they don't die. They're immediately with him, awaiting resurrection glory. The children of God are never truly dead, beloved. Your loved ones who've died in the Lord, they're with the Lord. They're alive. He's the God of them too. They're fulfilled. For in death, there's no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? But he does not leave our souls in Sheol. If that's true, they're alive. And that will most certainly be in the final resurrection as he returns and gives us resurrected bodies, because he is the God of the living. And he's making everything new. And why does that matter? Because, well, death can't hold him. He is about to die by their hand. And he is about to rise triumphant. And if he rises triumphant, then everything is put under his feet. And everyone has to do with him. And good news he publishes from the throne today, since he's risen indeed. That's why we celebrate the resurrection. And that good news is, death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you are united to him and you believe in him, you don't remain in the state of death. It's impossible. That's what he's saying. It's impossible because of the aseity of God and because he loves us. By his power, when our bodies go into the grave, he is saying the resurrection, they get up. They get up. They are getting out of those graves. The bones will rattle and they will get up. And Jesus ends by saying, you're most certainly wrong. And I'm glad he's willing to say it. What a tragic thing to live this life this way, as the Sadducees, living for the pleasures of this life and to think that this is it. Right? What a foolish existence. If that's the basis of anyone's belief, then you have to say what the scriptures say. We all rise on the last day, everybody. Some to the resurrection of eternal life, and some to the resurrection of condemnation. How sad to go through a life denying what's coming when God has said it is so. Only to rise on the last day to find that the thing you rejected your whole life, you were wrong. So Jesus said, you're wrong. Correct it now. Right? And what a thought. Because you want to convince yourself you could live any way you want? You're not the master of your fate. Well, what a thought. What then? I plan to do this. I plan to make lots of money in this life. I plan to seek for the good life. What then? Well, I hope to move to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. What then? Plan to buy my dream home in Timbuktu, play golf the rest of my life, What then? Plan to hit that little ball with, you know, on the golf course with my friends? What then? It all expires. Jesus never let anyone out of addressing the most important issues of life. And aren't you glad? We need him. And the good news is, in the resurrection, he is the resurrection and the life. And you're still living. And the good news is, beloved, if you've come to him today, and you've believed in him today, and you've trusted in him and turned to him by faith alone, you will know the power of God that will raise your mortal body from the grave. And even now, to be absent from the body is immediately to be in the presence of the Lord. So as our Heidelberg says, our own deaths are not a punishment for our sins, but it puts an end to our sinning and is an entrance into eternal life. You have nothing to fear. Don't be like these fools. Come to Jesus today and receive grace and glory. And he promises to raise you up on the last day. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death. Blessing and curse. So choose life in order that you may live. And that's what Jesus was saying. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a gift of your Son. And thank you for showing us the way. This is not it, and we're so glad. For it's such a life full of fallen sin and misery. And even along the way, you've blessed us and helped us. But eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Encourage our hearts with this. And we plead today that if any have not come, come. Rest in Christ and know the joy of forgiveness of sins and the promise of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for tuning in to us here at Abounding Grace Radio. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris as he continues his series in the book of Matthew. Thanks again. Until next time.